Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast brought to you by MyBookie.ag, the official sports book of RotoViz Radio. Joined today by Dan and Nathan. Sup, guys?
How's it going? How's it going?
It's going.
I have a bone to pick. Dan, why do you always get to talk first?
Because he says Dan and Nathan. Because if he said Nathan and Dan, that would be chronologically incorrect.
It's more actually, I think he seizes the carp and he sees an opportunity. He just takes it, unlike
no.
you, Nathan.
Who well, just, no, today, you know, I was about
like
to
right
say
now, something. I'm running over you via talking and you're just giving up.
I think the real key is to just keep going. So that way he can actually take the microphone over. But see, that's just the main part. Him. You might as well just bring in the other person that's here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Okay. Nathan, anything else? Oh, no, never mind. I'm sorry. Welcome Ryan McDowell as well. You can follow Ryan McDowell on Twitter, the Twitter machine, at Ryan MC23. If you don't follow him, I mean, I've said this before, but
yeah,
it's like his ninth time on the show. I mean, if you're listening to this show and not following him, then I don't think I understand how Twitter works.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me tonight.
Thanks for being here. We were trying earlier, and I know the people won't be able to hear that, but we were trying our hardest earlier to trade Nathan away and bring you in, but Nathan, of course, wasn't here to vouch for himself, so I think it was a little bit unfair.
The real question is, which podcast would we trade Nathan to for Ryan?
That's a good question. Yeah. That should be the poll for next week.
The Powell Williamson podcast brought to you by MyBookie.
Yeah. All right. So I guess first, let me tell listeners about RotoViz. So RotoViz, you can get a listeners only 30% discount to RotoViz NFL Pass through the NFL podcast homepage at RotoViz/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all the content on RotoViz, and it also helps support the pod. So you can contact us via email. That's RotoVizRadio@gmail.com. Also worth mentioning, RotoViz Radio and its fantastic collection of podcasts are now available on iTunes. You can find us individually. You can find all the shows under RotoViz Radio, or you can find the individual feeds. If you want to follow this particular show on our individual feed, it's the Dynasty Tradecast, a RotoViz fantasy football podcast. It has one review. Shout out to Coach JLO if you want to review the show. We would greatly appreciate that, 5-star reviews, as we're getting that channel kicked off. So make sure you leave us a 5-star review and subscribe to that channel and the RotoViz Radio channel. All right, so now I tried to jump the segue here, but I guess how did everybody's week 4 go?
Oh, it was a rough one. It was rough.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook, is that a thing? Because all my fantasy teams are going down the toilet.
Luckily, I have zero shares. You have zero shares too, right, Ryan?
I've got a few shares actually, but yeah, you know, it is what it is, and I don't know, injuries. Maybe I guess I'm weird. Maybe it's just the number of leagues I play in. But other than just feeling bad for the player, I don't really get bothered by injuries anymore, you know?
Yeah, that's just kind of like an arbitrage. You just have so many leagues that, like, doesn't matter what individuals do.
That is true. And even when you said, how did your week go? I don't know if I won or lost in leagues. So we'll find out.
So do you have like an assess period? Is that tomorrow? I guess what is, I mean, I know that Monday night games are going, but like, you're not like cruising through checking out scores and stuff.
No, not really. I'll check out the standings on Tuesday morning, and we'll see what it.
Okay,
looks
wait.
Like.
How many leagues are you in, Ryan McDowell?
I think I'm in 16 dynasty leagues. I think that's right.
All right.
And he commissions like 18 of them. So
yeah, that's true. He used to commission way more before he gave that up.
We won't talk about that.
Well, his wife commissioned all of those. He just.
I mean, kudos to you, Ryan McDowell. That was impressive.
That was the best decision I've made in a while.
I don't doubt that even a little bit. Okay, last week we started a segment, actually by accident, Nathan, right? I mean, the two of us arguing over whether Twitter would prefer Carson Wentz over Cam Newton, and Twitter greatly took Carson Wentz over Cam Newton. Like 78-22 is the last time I saw that poll. We broke Twitter, I think. Had like over 1,000 votes. So complete insanity. But we have put out the poll for this week already. So if you've already voted on it, that's awesome. We will talk about it as well. But that is Todd Gurley or Amari Cooper. That is that.
Because it's a perfect example of one player that's underperforming through the first few weeks of the season and one player that, you know, and according to his rookie draft expectations, this is about what we expected. But, you know, with people and how he performed as of late, be like, oh, this guy's going to be a bust and underperform. But now he's having a huge first few weeks in the season. So it may be a risk to invest in Amari Cooper right now without Derek Carr playing. But you know it's not a risk? You know it's not a gamble? Playing on mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag is the place to go if you want to place sports bets because they're great to their customers. They give you a 100% cash bonus on your deposit. And then brand new, starting this week with RotoViz Radio, when you make your deposit, you get a $25 credit into their casino. So not only do you make some sports bets, you get some bets in their casino. It's really, really awesome stuff. And, you know, you can make bets on the Buccaneers because I continue to do that every week just so I can talk about it. Just so I can say, I bet on the Bucs and, you know, just took the money line and the Bucs won again thanks to Nick Folk. So I was really happy about that. How'd your bets pan out this week, Dan?
Game-wise was kind of interesting, but I will say that I took full advantage of that $25 poker or casino chip and played slots for like 3 hours earlier today. And so honestly, it's way more fun than it should be. It's like being at the casino except without getting flooded with bundles and bundles of smoke.
Indeed. And you can get that 100% bonus and the $25 casino credit using the promo code TRADECAST. TRADECAST, TRADECAST. So get that going, make some bets, get into that casino, and have some fun.
Yeah, and also worth mentioning, if you sign up this month, you can use promo code TRADECAST and email your confirmation to rotovizradio@gmail.com. You'll also be entered into a drawing for a limited edition RotoViz athletic jacket. So pretty much if you're not signing up for MyBookie and you gamble on sports and like legitimately you're like, I don't think all this free stuff is worth it, then I don't think I understand you as a person. All right, let's get into week four. Dan, hit it.
Okay, so we always talk about not being a news and notes show, but we're going to do Dynasty News and Notes. So our first topic...
We just have to sneakily call it not news and notes, Dan. Okay, that's the trick.
It's not news and notes. I get it. It's fine. It's not news and notes. And that's what's going to be the name of the episode. But our first topic, and he was part of the Twitter poll, and we kind of got a little bit of a take out of Nathan being a little bit of risk here. But Amari Cooper, or as I like to call him, Drop Mari Cooper, he's struggled with those drops as of late. And, you know, after a couple of really solid seasons to start his career off, it almost looks like maybe a little bit of regression. He's trying to do too much, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to be that speculation guy, but let's go over to Ryan. How do you think this start has affected his dynasty value, if any? Do you think people are backing off a little, or do you think he's just kind of holding where he was?
Well, we are... working on the new ADP over at DLF, and I was really shocked. That's not on the site yet. We've just been doing the drafts for a couple of days now, but we do have some early data. And Cooper's ADP for October is 6.8. He's still ahead of AJ Green. He's ahead of DeAndre Hopkins. He's ahead of Stephon Diggs, who's been rising pretty quickly. He's ahead of Todd Gurley, who Nathan mentioned a moment ago. So I was really surprised to see him still drafted so highly. And when it's players like that I do, that I am a fan of, because I participate in all of the mock drafts each month, I try not to affect anything by drafting those players. I did take Cooper at one spot at the 1.11 pick, and I think that was the latest he went in any of the drafts. So no, it's not just me drafting him everywhere at like four overall. Yeah. It's other folks too that are still believers in him.
There's definitely a lag though, right? I mean, because the way that this ADP kind of goes is people don't react quite, because doesn't the MFL ADP kind of play a large piece in that as well as kind of the season progresses on?
Yeah, I think it probably does. But I don't know. I actually think with our in-season ADP that we continue to do each month, in some cases, I think people overreact, which is another reason I was surprised that he was still so high. But I think Cooper is a case where the ADP and the trade value are not matching up. I've seen him shopped and traded for some major discounts, or at least they look like discounts to what we thought a month ago before the season started. I saw him traded for Corey Davis, even up as one example.
Yeah.
So I think his value has certainly dropped regardless of what ADP might say. I think his trade value has dropped, and I think he just keeps dropping the ball.
Is this going to be a trend, do you think, especially with Carr out? I mean, his production is probably going to flail a bit, and Dynasty, for being as long-term as the game is, we're very short-term blinders on here. So with the Twitter kind of already turning on Amari Cooper as it currently sits, is there a slump coming? Because, I mean, I'm not sure it's time to buy Cooper yet. I mean, I think that there is definitely – the window is definitely cheaper than it was, but he was pretty much a top three wide receiver going into this season. So there is definitely an aspect where I think there's still – we haven't found the bottom of this Amari Cooper thing, and I worry that maybe he just becomes a proverbial wide receiver too by the end of this thing after he slumps out. So with Carr out for a bit, I guess my question is the time to buy coming up in like 3 weeks after that slump?
See, that's where I disagree, Eric. I think that – If there's a bottoming out price, it's right now, because in three 4 weeks, if Amari Cooper puts up, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of wide receiver three, wide receiver four numbers, you know, definitely below expectations, people are going to say, oh, he has E.J. Manuel at quarterback, and that's the reason why he's not producing. So I think that there will be that excuse midseason for Amari Cooper. I think that right now is probably the price where it's like, oh, he's had Derek Carr these first 4 weeks, and he has E.J. Manuel coming up. So I think that people are going to start panicking in regards to that price aspect. So I think that if you're going to want to buy Amari Cooper now, it's now. And I think that it's, you know, for that price of – I would definitely think that in most places you can't get him for just Corey Davis. I would think more along the lines of like two mid-firsts, or a mid-first and a late-first. So definitely would be my buying point with Amari Cooper. So I think that –
Do you think his bottom is like Allen Robinson last year after a non-productive year, like the 112, like beginning of the second round? That's probably the floor.
I think it's higher than that due to the aspect that he was the fourth overall pick in the NFL draft. He has such, you know, production at such a young age. So I think that, you know, his bottom price is around where Ryan took him at that 11 spot in his mock.
Yeah, and he's still – I mean, he's still technically working as the wide receiver too in that offense. You know, they love Michael Crabtree there, and he's been very good. Obviously, he's hurt right now. So we'll see if that injury kind of lingers, but I don't really think these drops are as big of an issue as Twitter likes to make them seem. Well,
they've kind of always been there too. Like, that's what Twitter was just overlooking.
He's always seemed to me like somebody that's trying to do too much before he's even got the ball. You know, he tries to get his eyes upfield, and he doesn't have the ball in his hands yet. I think as he grows and as he ages a little bit, he'll learn that he's just got to be a little more patient with it, get the ball, and make his moves, because he's so explosive and he's so much better than most everybody that's out there that he doesn't need that extra half step by, you know, trying to catch it with his eyes off of it. I think he's just still kind of learning and getting there. So I think I'm with Nathan here. I think the time to buy is now. At the very least, do your due diligence and reach out to Amari owners and see if they're kind of wavering at all, if they're ready to move on, and if they have something or if you have something they like. I think right now is probably the best chance for you to get him.
Okay, let's then, because it seems like we've got a consensus. So before we move on to the next guy, let's just real quick buy or sell. If the buying price tag was two firsts, random firsts, are you buying, Dan?
Yeah, I would buy Amari for two firsts.
Okay, Ryan, I assume yes,
definitely.
All right, Nathan.
Yes, and just to close out the Amari things, I have one more point. This season did start off pretty promising, because we always thought, hey, if he gets some of those red zone targets that Michael Crabtree got last year, then, you know, he's going to end up being, you know, a wide receiver one, a high-end wide receiver one. And he was getting those red zone targets. He had that one touchdown where he fought from, like, the 5-yard line and carried the entire defense. And then on the next red zone possession, he had like two, you know, targets in the end zone that he dropped. So, I mean, that goes more towards the drop Mari Cooper label. But I think that they showed that, you know, they're going to target him in the red zone. It's just a matter of him executing those possessions.
Okay, let's move on to the second subject of our poll for today, and that's Todd Gurley. A poll update at the moment is currently Todd Gurley is more valuable in this trade, 74% to 26%. 200 votes in. It's probably not going to shift much by the end of the show, but we'll revisit it. So apparently Todd Gurley significantly more valuable than Amari Cooper right now. Twitter, you're funny. Ugh.
So when I wrote this one in here, I just kind of posed the question to myself of because I think he was there at one point and then Jeff Fisher kind of heard it. But do we move him back to the elite dynasty running back tier? Is he officially there now with his huge performance this week in Dallas yet again? It just seems like every week it's just what he's doing. Nathan, if you want to start with Gurley, I know you love Gurley. Do we think he's back in that top tier? Maybe it's a top four now.
Yeah, this may be a case of I've never been that high on David Johnson because of the age. I've never gotten so high on Le'Veon Bell because of the drugs and other issues. So I was kind of the last one to take him out of that top tier per se. So I would definitely put him back in there, you know, with the David Johnson, Le'Veon Bells, and Ezekiel Elliott, especially with his off-field concerns as well. So, I mean, it may sound weird, but out of those top four, I think that he's the safest right now in an offense that looks like it's going to be explosive for, you know, the near future. I know that you weren't ever a big fan of Goff, Dan, but that offense is looking really good right now, and that he will go as the offense goes. And I'm not saying they're going to put up 30 points every week like they've been doing, but I think Gurley is going to continue being, you know, a top five running back in fantasy.
Goff was never my guy, but I will say that I liked him significantly
Goff
more
or
than Wentz.
Real quick.
And, no, right. Definitely. It's still Goff for me. It's always been Goff. It will always be Goff. And I actually have Gurley back in that top tier as well. I take him one spot ahead of David Johnson, but that's just me being stubborn because, again, I also don't really like David Johnson because I don't like winning. Ryan, do you have him back in that grouping? Is it a top four? Is it more for you?
That's a really good question. I probably need to update my rankings. Look, checking them out right now, I've got Todd Gurley at running back 8, and that does not feel good.
Nope.
Who
the hell is in front of
Todd Gurley
there?
I need to take a look at that. But I think maybe to take that question a little deeper is can that top tier expand even beyond 4 with some of the troubles that Bell, Zeke, and DJ have all faced this season in different forms. Maybe the top tier is just like 8 deep now with Freeman and Gordon and Hunt and some of the other rookies. I could almost see that. Like if you're putting in Gurley, maybe you're just putting in all of these guys and there's a little difference or there's very little difference between who we thought of as the big three and that second tier.
But doesn't that speak more to like that tier coming down in that situation than it is more everybody elevating to that? So it's almost like all these running backs that were going first overall, Zeke, third overall, David Johnson, that suddenly it's like they came back to earth. And we've kind of talked about it on the show, you know, towards that end of that first round where really running backs probably should be getting drafted in Dynasty.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of those. I mean, obviously Gurley has improved his value this season so far. I think Hunt has. I think Fournette has. Cook has up until yesterday and with his injury. But again, and obviously, again, the three have lost some value because of injury or just some of those off-field questions.
Instead of calling it the elite tier, do we consider a more like a broadened tier that is maybe just like a bell cow tier, and maybe it's separated by
you get all the carries.
Well, because then you could have, I mean, and DeMarco hasn't been very good, but I still think he's up there because he's getting the touches. Kind of depends on game script, it seems, because they just got smoked this last week, and I think that had a little more to do with his down game, but. You know, you have that kind of secondary portion of bell cows where it's Shady and it's DeMarco Murray. Even guys like Frank Gore are still just toting the rock. But I think we can just maybe call that top tier, like the bell cow tier, because those guys really aren't losing touches to others, except for maybe Freeman. and Tevin Coleman. I think we might touch on Coleman a little bit later, but most of these guys are seeing the majority of the touches in their offenses when you're looking at Zeke, when you're looking at Le'Veon, obviously Gurley now. There's not many guys like that around. Everything seems to be running back by committee.
I guess the entire conversation just makes me think, and it's kind of been slowly building for a couple of years. Are we just returning to that that running back heavy first round? Could we see a first round next year, like split maybe 6-6 wide receivers and running backs?
Yeah. So Ryan is the second ever three-time guest of the Tradecast. The first is Russell Clay, and Russell Clay has always been a guy that when there was the running back drought between like 2010 and like 2014, he was always saying it's not that the NFL is a passing league, it's that the running back talent just wasn't there. And now we've had this influx of running back talent, and now teams are still passing the ball a lot, but they're also passing the ball to those running backs and making them valuable for fantasy. So I think that sometimes we overreact to, you know, just the amount of talent that's in a particular position. And then we, you know, go all out wide receiver, but there's a lot of talent at the running back position right now.
So much running back talent. It's gotten kind of insane. And that's actually a nice kind of mini segue. And we can keep talking about the top tier if we want to as well, but you talk about them, you know, maybe being a passing league, but using the running backs in that sense a lot more. And now we're seeing more and more of these PPR backs that really just specialize in being a receiver out of the backfield. You know, now we have, you know, rookie Alvin Kamara, who just had a nice week this week. You have the resurgence of Andre Ellington, who I don't know if anyone was going to see that coming. He's had a couple of big weeks. Duke Johnson, Giovanni Bernard, James White. We saw Christian McCaffrey have a big week. Was it 2 weeks ago now? This just might be the new norm. Even guys like Tevin Coleman, who's still getting some carries, but majority of his touches and majority of his points are coming off of catches. So is this kind of a time, and we just got done talking about maybe taking running backs into the first, but maybe now if we're taking that one running back early, do we now transition and wait on running back for the rest until you get into the sixth, the seventh or so, wherever those running backs are falling, and focus on getting a PPR back that, you know, that almost exclusively catches passes as your secondary option?
Yeah, my take on the PPR type backs have always been they're so hard to rely on a weekly basis because a lot of their role depends on game script and how their team is playing. So obviously I prefer to have the guy that I think is going to be guaranteed the 20 touches and is going to be getting carries in the red zone and things of that nature. I tend to fade the Kamaras, the Gio Bernard types of the world, but I do think that they are, you know, for the zero RB or the, you know, waiting forever on the RB, you want to make minimal investment at a position that, you know, you can get inconsistency week to week.
Yeah, I still find myself building dynasty teams with kind of the zero running back in mind, or maybe modified zero running back with grabbing one guy early. Dan, like
one running back.
Yeah, the one RB.
Yes. but I think Nathan makes a good point that some of those PPR backs are tough to count on from week to week. But I guess I just find myself getting three or four of those guys and going with the best option that week. You know, it may be Riddick or White or Kamara or Duke Johnson, whoever that might be. But those guys are still almost always going to come at a discount compared to those bell cow running backs.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're talking about if we're talking about like, would I rather have Frank Gore, who's like kind of a bell cow running back, or would I rather gamble on a high upside game from Gio Bernard? I'm probably going to gamble on the high upside game from Gio Bernard, or one of those guys with a share that's a bit more explosive. I just think it's like Jonathan Stewart, also kind of a bell cow. Granted, he's splitting now with Christian McCaffrey, but still kind of that same idea of like that next tier below that tier that we're talking about of those eight running backs. There's just nothing really that appealing. It's like their ceiling is realistically like double digits. It's nothing crazy. Whereas we see the ceiling pretty regularly of these PPR backs, and in a PPR league, their floor is not that low. I mean, you're probably 8 points is probably your floor for some of these guys, for most of them, at least on any given week, unless the game script just goes to absolute hell. But then that can happen for a bell cow too, where you get blown out and they don't touch the football.
Yeah, and that following tier is kind of weird because it's almost like the injured and we're all still hoping tier. You know, you got like your Lamar Millers, your CJ Andersons, Jay Ajayi, Jordan Howard, who's had a couple of decent weeks.
Yeah, what about Jay Ajayi's falling?
Yeah, he's I don't know what to do with him.
We told you to, guys.
Yeah, we definitely said don't draft, but especially at that price. But I didn't see this happening. I still thought he was going to be like maybe a low-end RB1, high-end RB2, and this has just been atrocious, kind of like the Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins are just malaria.
They're malaria. Oh, man. Well, since we just talked about injuries, you know, we're going to put a little damper on the episode. And we lost Dalvin Cook. How promising was that kid looking at? I was excited. You know, we kind of were getting that glimpse of what we saw at Florida State and proving all the naysayers wrong that wrote him off because of his pointless combine numbers. And I mean, he was the guy, and we lose him. And, you know, now Carr's out for probably a month. Mariota's might be, we don't know. J-Matt's strained. Out for a little bit. Ty Montgomery's probably out for a little bit. It was kind of a weird week. So are there any major injuries? Let's start with Dalvin Cook. Do we feel like the ACL now? It's not like the ACLs used to be where it was like, oh, it was the end of a career. Now it's like, okay, well, we'll see you in 6 months. Do we have a bad feeling about this? Do we think this moves him down as far as dynasty ranks go, or does he just kind of hold strong in that kind of low end RB1 range, maybe mid RB1? Just because of what he's done in these first 3.5 games,
he definitely holds his value. But this is again, as I mentioned, this dynasty world, for whatever reason, very long term game, very short term memories, where people are going to start souring on Dalvin Cook and start playing for win now, and his value is going to inevitably dip. And so in that situation, I mean, I think you just buy an injured player, especially one with a very straightforward ACL, but from everything we've heard, at least very straightforward. I've torn exactly zero ACLs, so they sound immensely painful, but yeah, I think Cook, there probably will be a buying window that opens, but I'm not sure that I wouldn't be shocked if either he dipped a little bit or just hung right about where he was. So, I'm curious to hear what Nathan and Ryan's thoughts are on Cook though.
Yeah, my thoughts on Cook are that I feel like now isn't exactly the right time to buy because people still have the memories of him, you know, breaking off big runs, scoring points in the first few games. More like week 12, week 13, when people are, you know, desperate to get points and heading into the playoffs, then you say, hey, you've had this Dalvin Cook guy sitting on your bench the entire time. I'll take him off your hands. I'll give you a guy who's scoring points now and, you know, buy for like 80 cents on a dollar. So,
but that can backfire, Nathan, because then if they're a really crappy team, then they're like, no, man, that's my next year guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I don't think that the guy who's playing for next year really cares that he's out for the Dalvin Cook's out for the year.
Well, he's not playing for it now, though, is what I'm saying. There could be a window that opens up in a week or so.
But if I'm playing for next year and I have Dalvin Cook, I don't care if you're coming to try buy low on Dalvin Cook. It's not going to happen because there's no benefit to me selling low on Cook today if I'm playing for next year.
But I'm saying if you're not sure you're playing for next year, by week 13, you're pretty sure that you're playing for next year if you're doing it. I'm saying you learn a lot more about your team and your roster by the time you get later on in the season. And
yeah, that's true. But I mean, 4 weeks in, I feel like most teams have a general idea.
Ryan, your thoughts? You keeping Cook up high, or is he kind of moving off a little bit?
I think I could certainly see him dropping to the bottom of that second tier, and you know, everyone's running back rankings are different, but maybe he drops below McCaffrey. He drops maybe below Mixon, depending on how he looks over the next week or next couple weeks. Once you get into like Jay Ajayi, Jordan Howard territory, Carlos Hyde, like I would easily sell any of those guys for Cook. I would say go buy Dalvin Cook, but that seems to be the obvious play, and it's probably going to be easier said than done.
Yeah, I completely agree. What about the quarterbacks? I mean, they're not as big of a deal. But like the Carr and Mariota, to me, it doesn't really impact their value whatsoever, but I'm curious if anybody thinks it does.
Not really. You know, we kind of knew this with Mariota. You know, it's just kind of his style of play. He's kind of fast and loose, and it's a little bit of the way that Cam plays. And if you try to take that away from them, you're seeing a different guy, kind of like we've been seeing with Cam Newton. You know, they try to take that part of his game out and keep him in the pocket and protect him a little bit. And it's just not the same guy. So I think they just need to let Mariota keep doing his thing. I don't think this changes his value at all. I still love him. I have him in the elite tier of dynasty quarterbacks because of his age and because of what he brings to the table. I think running quarterbacks have a kind of an upper hand, even if they maybe aren't there. You know, they're not your Andrew Luck or your Aaron Rodgers from that perspective, but they can bring a whole different thing in there with their legs. So I have him up top. You know, guys like Russell Wilson. I still think Cam lingers in that area. Jameis is probably still around there just because of his offense, even though I don't think he's the greatest of quarterbacks. I think that offense will keep him propped up quite a bit. So, yeah, I think Mariota stays up there. Carr, I've never been high on. I think you can probably put him behind, like, your Staffords and your Matt Ryans if he wasn't there already. You know, he's going to be just fine. But yeah, I don't know that it really does a whole lot. And I saw some kind of mumblings earlier about maybe is he injury prone? No, he's not injury prone. He just got a weird hit, like Romo got hit, even though Romo was kind of injury prone.
Okay, Nathan and Ryan. No, I'm sorry, Ryan. That was very offensive. My apologies.
I'm insulted.
Yeah, do not ever confuse me and Ryan together again. That's
yes. My God. The vast chasm of dynasty ability.
Yes. Not even close.
It's just not even in the ballpark.
Chasm?
Yes, chasm. I believe.
You mean chasm?
What is? No, it's is it chasm or chasm or chasm? Oh yeah, it is chasm.
I think it's chasm.
There's a vast chasm of skill between the two of them. All right, real quick, guys, on that topic, is there anything you guys would like to add, or you feel similarly to the two of us there on those two?
I mean, it just provides a buy low for people who are panicking short term of, oh, Corey Davis is not going to put as much points up, or Amari Cooper is not going to put as many points up. So I think that the surrounding assets are more important than the quarterback, unless we're talking Superflex. But even that, it's not like people are going to be dropping down Carr, Mariota, and Superflex.
Yeah, I agree. I would leave Mariota in the upper half of my QB1 ranks and Carr in the bottom half. This doesn't change much at this point.
Okay, I think one of the more interesting injuries that happened was Ty Montgomery, and I think that that's probably how we wrap up the injury segment since we're kind of running long. But I guess there's a big question mark here where Jamal Williams was on the field for what, half a play before he was off the field. I was like, well, that was quick. Down, man. I was like literally did not even have time to like rub my hands together and say, good, it's Jamal Williams time. Like by the time I got like my hands like close to each other, he was already off the field. I was like, damn it.
I was so excited for that opportunity. You know, I felt terribly for Ty Montgomery because I do like him. I like what he's done. I like that he's progressed in his abilities. He's a pass blocker now. All the good stuff. But there was that smidgen of hope that we were going to get to see like 15 carry Jamal Williams, and nope. You go.
There was definitely a segment of victory lap Twitter coming in when Aaron Jones came in and scored some points. You know, it was one of those things that I looked at Twitter. I was like, I don't have any Jamal Williams or Aaron Jones, so I don't care. You guys can go yap at each other all you want.
Yeah, the backup running back battle, you know, planting a flag around those guys is kind of crazy, I think. But I mean, personally, I don't really love Williams or Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, is that his name?
Yes, that's right.
That didn't even sound right. I don't even know the guy's name. I'm not a huge fan of either. I think I ended up with a couple of shares myself, but I'm not going to bat for either one of those guys. I think if Montgomery is out for a while, we're just going to see even more pass volume from Rodgers and to those wide receivers and tight ends. But yeah, it's pretty disappointing for Montgomery, who I felt like was really starting to establish himself as, I guess, like an upper tier two running back.
Well, yep. I guess my question comes in on Ty Montgomery, because if he is out for the majority of the rest of the fantasy season or the season altogether, I can't remember how long he's supposed to be out for, but And then suddenly Green Bay drafts another running back next season. I mean, are we going to see a situation where Montgomery's value is just going to completely plummet here? And I mean, I'm not saying that it's necessarily validated, but that Green Bay starts to see their void at running back and says, okay, we got to address it with a high pick.
I mean, we played this game this past offseason. We said, oh, when Green Bay invests in a running back, then Ty Montgomery is going to plummet. They invested two picks at running back, and his value didn't really plummet because Williams and Aaron Jones haven't really shown much. Granted, if one of those
two... No, it did plummet originally, like right after...
No, it didn't, though. Like, after the draft, I would say he went from being worth, like, a mid-first to a late-first and then went back to being a mid-first. I don't think that his value ever really plummeted, like you're saying. I mean, the ADP guru is shaking his head at me, so maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Come on, ADP guru. Hit him in the head.
I mean, I don't have his full offseason ADP at hand, but I don't think anybody was paying a mid-first for him, honestly. I think bump that down. Maybe a late first was the peak, and maybe after they added those rookies, he dropped a little bit. But I do think he bounced back before the season and certainly bounced back, gaining some value over that first month. But at this point, we just have to question, and everything we know about Montgomery with the wide receiver switch and the soft tissue injuries, that's all going to factor into his value. Eric, I haven't followed the injury news too closely. I thought the last thing we heard was pretty good news that maybe he would only miss a week or so. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I think with any running back, and like Chris Carson would be included in this, any running back outside of that elite tier, if they're out for the year, I don't want to say it's safe to give up on them, but they're just going to lose value by the boatloads.
Like, yeah, actually, I just looked it up, just so we stop speculating on the show when we have the internet here in front of us on time. I have the power, guys. So Shefty is saying Ty Montgomery's rib injury not as serious as initially thought. So it requires 2 to 4 weeks. So not bad. Hold on to those Montgomery shares. Maybe our discussion is a little premature there.
Oh, four weeks is still enough to really hurt his value and maybe offer a little bit of a buy low window for dynasty owners.
Yeah, absolutely. And so would we be buying? I guess, are we buying low? Because I think I would be with Montgomery, because I'm not sure how much his value falls, but if it ever hits anywhere near a second round pick, I think I'm perfectly happy throwing that at him.
I think we might see it drop a decent amount in, let's say, maybe 2 weeks. If we don't have good news, like, hey, he's back to the practice field, he's practicing with first team offense. You know, if we don't see it, I would say after this week, that might present itself as a good time to buy. Right now, I still wouldn't try, because I don't think it's going to be reduced in any way unless you're planning on giving up a decent piece. But as far as getting it in for a discount, I think you have to wait probably 2 weeks, and we probably need some news in a buyer's favor in order for it to actually be considered, you know, a good buy low.
And then whatever we see from Williams and or Jones is going to affect that price too.
Yep.
Either way, I mean, if they both struggle, then the price is just going to go up on Montgomery.
All right, I think that's a good place to leave it. Dan, why don't you tell us about our sponsor, Draft?
Okay, guys. Again, we talk about it every week, but this is probably my favorite app I have on my phone. I've been deleting stuff left and right, pulling money out of other places. Draft's the place to be. Your daily fantasy site to have, man. It's a new
version of it. It's awesome.
There was just a fresh update. It's absolutely fantastic. And they've got a little, you get a free entry. So if you hop in and you're a new member there, you sign up, use RV Radio as your promo, and you get a free entry into a game when you make your first deposit. So you really can't beat that. It's such a good app. It's so much fun. There's so much going on there. Dig around. There's games for everybody. Yeah. You know, you go from top to bottom.
Yeah, and just to harp on what you're saying, Dan, for those of you that haven't listened to the show previously, Draft is a one-week fantasy app where you draft a team as opposed to a salary cap style where you'll actually enter like a 12-man draft and you'll have a team for a week. So it's a super unique format and really a ton of fun. So make sure you check it out. Use RV Radio and you'll get that free game.
Yeah, and there's always draft starting, so you don't feel like you're going to be missing out. If you get in one and you know, maybe you get dropped because it's already full, don't worry. I mean, they happen, you know, every 30 seconds to a minute, it seems, when I'm in there. It's absolutely fantastic. Go check it out.
Yeah, and you can also find it at playdraft.com on the computer as well. All right, let's get into a game. We haven't had a game in a while. We've got four hosts now, so that makes sense that there's been less talking and the show needs a game at the end. So not a whole lot of fun to talk about. Actually, that's great news for week four, though. There wasn't really just teams in shambles. So we're going to play Keep, Trade, Drop. So for keep the first one. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Nathan's saying keep, trade, drop. Or I could stick in the Beastie Boys drop.
Drop. Yeah, I think you have to put that in there.
Oh, I've done it before. Don't worry. It's happening. And it probably already happened on the show now that I've already stuck it in behind us. What's up, guys, listening to the show? Beasties, what's up? All right, first one is we're assuming Superflex. This is a quarterback keep, trade, drop. I'm going to throw to Ryan first, so don't you guys go answering stealing from our guest. This is Andrew Luck, Marcus Mariota, or Russell Wilson.
Ooh, I am going to – wow, this is tough right off the bat. I'm going to trade Marcus Mariota. I'm going to...
While he's injured.
Yeah, well, there, two of them are injured. all right. Trading Marcus Mariota, keeping Russell Wilson, dropping Andrew Luck.
Woo! Fiery.
I love it.
all right, I'll dive in real quick because I had a little tweet storm over the weekend where... we were discussing who the QB1 is now, and we like Rodgers was definitely the answer there, but the QB2 I think is a legitimate question right now, and I think this is what this is really broaching on, because who knows at this point? Like Andrew Luck was ordained as the overall QB1 forever and ever, and that has not panned out at all. Personally, I guess I'm going to keep Russell Wilson. Just seems to have the most production currently. And maybe I'm just being recency biased and I'm okay. But he just, even in an anemic offense, seems to be able to produce fantasy points. And then I will drop Mariota and trade Luck will be my motive here. My move, not motive. That doesn't make any sense.
The money is the motive. And I'm going to... keep Andrew Luck here because I think that he has the highest upside long-term of these players. You know, we were waiting out the firing of Ryan Grigson that happened. Now we're going to start waiting out the firing of Chuck Pagano for Andrew Luck.
So. It's got to happen, man.
Soon. I mean, my God.
So
we'll keep Andrew Luck because I think, you know, once he's healthy, once Pagano's gone, he's a top three quarterback for the next, you know, however many 7 to 10 years. So I'm going to drop
Jeff Fisher is what you're saying is pretty much what's going to happen.
Yeah, basically Todd Gurley is to Jeff Fisher as Andrew Luck is to Chuck Pagano. So
my understanding was there would be no similes or analogies.
It's too much math.
Similes.
That's right.
Bust here we go. The third
Mike Thesaurus there, Ryan McDowell. Look it up, man.
All right, I'm going to drop Marcus Mariota. I think that he has the lowest trade value of this group, especially, you know, after another injury. And then I'll trade Russell Wilson because I think that he has the highest trade value in the short term. So I think that I can get the most back for him, and I like doing that, obviously.
All right, we get it, Nathan, and everybody's wrong. So this is how it's going to go. We're going to keep Marcus Mariota because Marcus Mariota has the highest upside of all three of these quarterbacks, and he has the lowest trade value right now. I'm keeping Mariota. I'm going to trade Luck because, as you talked about, Eric, we sent out that who is the QB1 or who's the QB2. There were way too many Andrew Luck answers, so I'm trading Andrew Luck since he seemingly still has way too much trade value, and I'm going to drop Russell Wilson because that offensive line is going to get him killed one of these days.
I mean, you're not wrong. He is floundering around back there. Just, yeah.
It's that offensive line is fugly.
Whoa. I thought you were going a different direction with that.
Nope. I kept it PG. I kept it PG so we can use that.
I think that's PG-13.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, are you watching like Animaniacs is Where My Head Went? That's not a children's Ooh, movie.
Not bad.
Sweet not TV bad, show, but that's just dating myself. All right. What did we say? We said wide receivers now?
Yeah.
All right. Let's play the wide receiver keep trade drop. I've got Golden Tate, Randall Cobb, and Emmanuel Sanders. I call this the poo-poo sandwich wide receiver pick 'em. Let's throw to Ryan first.
Well, we know who he's keeping.
His boyfriend.
Yes, I'm going to keep Randall Cobb.
Does Randall Cobb know he's your boyfriend?
He doesn't need to know about this. I'm keeping Randall Cobb. I am trading Golden Tate, and I am dropping Manny Sanders. I think Sanders is the oldest, kind of along the same lines of what Dan said as far as Mariota having the lowest trade value right now. I think Cobb has the lowest trade value right now of the three, which –
You think? I think Sanders has a lower trade value with the production he's been putting up, I feel like. He's had one big game this season and kind of a couple duds, right?
Eh, I don't know. Maybe that's why it's a poo-poo sandwich.
No, there is no correct poo-poo to choose to put on your sandwich. So let's see what poo-poo Nathan picks.
All right, I'm gonna keep Golden Tate here. I think that he is the one I can rely on most to put in my lineup on a weekly basis at this point. I'm gonna trade Randall Cobb because I think that he has the highest trade value of the bunch. Simply because he has Aaron Rodgers as quarterback, he's still relatively young, and I'll drop Emmanuel Sanders because even when he's been good, no one's ever liked him. So,
wow, you do play really? In a lot of leagues with McDowell, so you probably find somebody to buy your Cobb trade.
Yeah, that's an easy sell right there. Yep. You probably get like 4.5 first from Ryan for Cobb right now with his resurgence.
All right, this one is brutal. I guess I'm just going to, out of pure stubbornness, keep Cobb just because I bought into him so hard a long time ago that I'm like, I have shares of him that I'm just stubbornly grasping. I once sold Brandon Cooks and Jarvis Landry for Randall Cobb during an offseason. So,
jeez.
That was.
What?
And that was when his valuation, that was when he was going into free agency and he came back to Green Bay and everybody's like, all right, they really want him there. And then, yeah, I was. Live and learn. Live and learn.
Did Breeze tell you to do that?
No. Yes, that was not my finest moment. Actually, I forgot about that till right now.
Thank you for bringing it up.
Had a couple sake bombs in me, and I was like in the sushi bathroom, and I was looking at my phone, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to accept this deal right now. Also, fun fact, a lot of my trades are done in the restroom. So, also, if your trade's getting retweeted, I'm probably in the restroom at work. So, what's up? Okay,
right. I'm derailing this. Drop.
Yeah, I will keep Cobb. I will trade. I'll drop Sanders. It feels like the sun is setting on Sanders, but maybe it's just poor quarterback play. And I will trade Tate because he's most productive right now, and that's what people care about right now.
These are three guys I have quite a bit of. I mean, they were all pretty cheap at one point, and they all
that adds up for your teams.
Yeah. So I'm actually with Nathan here. I think I'm going to keep Tate. I think he's got the highest floor week to week. And just a PPR monster. It seems, you know, they're doing these little underneath throws constantly, playing him in the slot, playing him outside, wherever. It just seems like they constantly try to get the ball in his hands. I'm also going to sell Randall Cobb because I think he is making a little bit of a resurgence. I think we're seeing him kind of move back up the boards. I think we might see that Green Bay trio get really, really close in ADP over the next couple of months if Rodgers, you know, keeps his legs underneath him and maybe that running game struggles a little bit. I think we see those three get really close together. And as much as I love Manny Sanders, I think he is the odd man out here, and I think would just have to get rid of him in this situation.
Sad. We should play like a funeral song. I think we all dropped Manny Sanders.
That's so mad. I love him. I have so many shares.
I have a lot of shares of him too. Him and CJ Anderson.
We need some bagpipe or something.
Yeah, well, maybe.
I've drafted Manny Sanders once. And when I did, I had the the auto tweets on Twitter, and he favorited the tweet. So shout out to Manny Sanders.
Oh my God, he
that
favorited
should make
the
you
tweet.
Love him. You should own him in every league.
Yeah. I once said that Isaiah Ford was going to be better than Devontae Parker, and then I got tweeted at by Devontae Parker. So that was
you. You are alone in his coming out party this year. It seems.
Yeah,
that
no,
was
I
all your fault.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to talk about more bad things I've done in Dynasty than that, we could probably fill up an entire show. Call it Dynasty Mistakes. I think the Bullcast or Bull Rush Tradecast did that one time. God, why am I combining all these?
It's fine. What is the Twitter poll at? How did we finish?
Oh, God. Todd Gurley is more valuable than you thought he was per Twitter. He is a 76% of the vote, and Amari Cooper is at 24% of the vote. So Amari Cooper worth a mid-third now. Todd Gurley, the one-on-one.
Oh, man. Guys, go out and send your Amari owners an offer, for the love
of
God.
I mean, it's just so hyperbolic, and people – yeah, this is why if you make a trade and you lose your dynasty trade on Twitter, just don't let it get to you. You'll probably win it in real life if you have common sense and don't freak out. All right. Another reminder, make sure you go and rate and review the podcast on iTunes, our own stream. That's Dynasty Tradecast, a RotoViz podcast. You can find it on iTunes. Go rate and review that. I might give you a shout out. Like Coach JLO. That's two, Coach JLO. What's up, man? We're real happy with you rating and reviewing the pod. So I would like to thank our good guest here, Ryan McDowell. Ryan, a pleasure to have you on again.
Thank you, sirs. I appreciate it. And had a blast as always.
We need to have you back so you can take out Russell. I just feel like I don't want him being the most.
We got to get him. Ryan, what are you doing next week? You want to come back?
I'll be back.
All right. Well, for Nathan, Dan, Ryan, and myself, and this cough I have, we will catch up with you guys. I'm dying on the outro. All right. We'll catch up with you guys next week.